joy that you promised me. Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people,
you look so much better.
Still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on!
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven like a shower now.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Can y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hallelujah. Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh,
I say,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
And while you're waiting,
you look so much better.
Yeah, and why are you praying?
You look so much better when you're.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
I said all that to say this. You don't know what people see when they look at you. When that zeal is in you, that zeal manifests in joy and in gladness and in great desire to love and serve and please God. That's how you know when you got it, because you have great desire to please God. Now, we're going to look at some other things here. So just keep that in mind right here. That when you have the zeal of God, that means to glow and to boil over with excitement. It's a state of being emotionally aroused. Amen. Just like a mama that have zeal for her children. You know how they brag on them. They are emotional about their children. They're always bragging on them. Now, turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2, 14. We're going to go back and catch verse 11, I believe. I want you to strap on your seatbelt here. Okay? Strap your seatbelt on. I'm going to tell you the ride going to get a little rough. It's about to get a little rough in here. Okay? If you hold on to the end, he that endured to the end shall be saved. All right, look at verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now let's look at verse 12 and let's digest it. The Bible says that grace teaches us something about God. Grace teaches us that we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Ungodliness and worldly lust will pull you right out of the plan and purpose of God for your life. So grace will teach me, the Holy Spirit will teach me that I need to say no to worldly lust and to anything that's not pleasing to God. Ungodliness means it does not have God in it. It means without God. I'm supposed to say no, and I'm supposed to deny myself any pleasure that does not have God in it. In other words, that doesn't have God's approval. Now, I'm going to show this to you here in a minute here. All right, look at verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is what you do. You say, well, Pastor, what am I going to do if I'm not caught up in worldly lust? What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to be looking forward to Jesus' return. Isn't that what it say? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm to busy myself working with the Lord, amen, and reaching other people for the kingdom of God and telling others about Jesus. That's what I'm supposed to occupy my time with, and is doing the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Amen? And I'm supposed to be looking forward to his return, because we're living in a time now when Jesus can come back at any moment. With all this technology we got, listen, I got a new phone the other day, and I accidentally hit a button. I don't know what I hit. I couldn't even duplicate it. But that thing showed me where I was at. Put a little pin in there. You are here. And then I hit another button trying to get out of that and saw a picture of the building outside, of this building, the street view of the building that I'm in. I said, this thing freaking me out. Verse number 14. Who gave himself for us, talking about Jesus, that he might, listen to this, redeem us from all iniquity, that's evil habits, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So when Jesus redeemed us, he was looking to get something out of this deal. He said, I'm going to redeem him. I'm going to pay the price for him. I'm going to provide redemption for him. I'm going to provide salvation. I'm going to provide peace, joy, life, healing, blessing, abundance, everything they need. But in return, I'm looking for a people who are zealous to do good works on my behalf. Amen. The word zealous means excitement of mind, that are excited about working with the Lord. Feelings of great intensity and warmth in embracing, pursuing, or defending. People that are pursuing good works. Amen. And that embrace the idea that God can use me and I want God to use me. People that boil over with excitement, that glow with excitement at the thought of even working with God. He said, that's what I'm looking for. So God is looking for men and women who will be zealous to do good works for him. Amen? Amen. That's what he's looking for. Amen? Now I'm going to ask you to consider five things here now. I'm going to change gears on you. And then we're going to get right back in here, okay? So I'm going to take you on a little detour here, because this is very important. There are five things that you need to consider if you want the zeal of God to work strong in you. Number one, You need to consider that there's only one God. Everybody say there's only one God. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:39 says, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart." Consider this in your heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Now, the word consider means to examine carefully, to think intently about, to turn your mind and hearts toward, or to fix your mind on. So when he says, consider this, he's saying, fix your mind on this thought right here, that there ain't but one God. Examine this closely, because there are a lot of false gods out there. Muhammad is a false god. Amen. Buddha is a false god. Hare Krishna is a false god. Mr. Moon is a false god. There are lots of false gods out there. But he said, examine this closely. Look at creation and know that there's only one God, and he's the creator of heaven and earth. Amen. And not only that, when I consider his works, the Bible talks about consider the heavens in Psalm chapter 2. Consider the handiwork of God. Consider how God with his finger created everything. When you consider that, and then consider that you are made in his image, that he created you. Consider that. That there's one God and that he is the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen? So you need to consider that. Examine that. Think intently about that. You need to sit down sometime and just think, you know what, there ain't but one God. What is my relationship like to this one God? There ain't but one God. How am I doing in my relationship with him? Consider that. Number two, you need to consider how good God has been to you and act accordingly. Consider how good God has been to you and then act accordingly. It will do you good. When I say consider, that means to think intently about, to examine carefully. It would do you good to sit down and make a list and list out all the blessings that God has blessed you with. You know what? You'll have so many blessings you won't even be able to write them all. David said in the book of Psalms, he said, when I call to mind all of your goodness and how you blessed me, he said, if I were to number the blessing of the Lord in my life, he said, it's too great for me to even number. See, there's something about you reflecting on and remembering the goodness of God in your life. If you'll look back on your life, how many of you can look back at situations, circumstances, tests, and trials that you have come through that you don't know how you made it? Amen. How many of you ever come out of some bad stuff? Amen. You thought when you was going through it that you got yourself out. But in hindsight, you look back and say, there were none but God. That is God showing you his goodness. And the Bible says that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. You see, when you see the goodness of God, it invokes something on the inside of you that you want to serve him. It does something in you that make you want to serve him when you see how good he's been. So you consider that. I remember the day I got saved, when I asked the Lord to forgive me of all my sins. Say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, every one of them. Let me start my life over. Give me a clean slate. And I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I said, Jesus, you forgive me for everything? He said, I'll forgive you for everything. All right? And then he gave me a vision of a giant chalkboard that had all my sins written on it. No place to write. It was white. Sin written on top of sin. And then I saw the Lord take a giant eraser. Now, I didn't understand that at the time, but the eraser represents the blood of Jesus. See, with the blood, we have all our sins remitted. And he began on the right-hand side of this board, and he began to erase all of my past, my whole life, all my mistakes, all my fears, all my failures, all my bad thoughts, all my bad words, all my bad deeds. He began to erase all of them. All my bad way,